Welcome back. Great to have your company wherever you might be listening. We'll head back to your calls very shortly. But Jason Pine, broadcaster at News Talk ZB Sport and Sky Sport New Zealand, has been good enough to join us to talk about all things New Zealand sport and how they're linking in with us at the moment, given the dramas with the Warriors in the NRL and what might happen with a couple of other the major sports, like the V8s not coming to New Zealand this season, and what's going to happen with the NBL as well. Plenty to talk about, including the A-League, which is now on the agenda after the announcement today. Jason Pine joins me. Welcome to you, Jason. Great to have you on the line.
Great to chat to you, Dwayne. How you doing?
Good, good. The biggest story here, I suppose, for us is the New Zealand Warriors situation. We're facing, you know, our little sport called AFL here, facing the threat, the thought of how long's too long in a hub, and it seems as if our players here are telling us and the administrators are telling us that 3 weeks is okay, 4 weeks we could probably do, but five and you're stretching it and we might not want to be part of it. The New Zealand Warriors are virtually going to spend the whole season in Australia and they're finding it a bit tough. They were smashed by the Storm last week. What's the latest on the Warriors situation?
Yeah, well, it's all pretty bleak and pretty grim at the moment, both on and off the field, Dwayne, as you said. I mean, living in a hub would lose its novelty pretty quickly, particularly for those players with young families and those who, you know, who have partners who they're used to seeing, you know, every day pretty much. I know they go away for games and come back. But yeah, for the Warriors to commit to being effectively away from their families and away from home comforts for the best part of 3 or 4 months is quite the commitment, and that has been praised by everybody. But you know, now I just think that the cracks really are starting to appear in this plan, and obviously the sacking of coach Stephen Kearney came as a big surprise to just about everybody when that happened off the back of the loss to the Rabbitohs, you know, Friday a week ago. It just seemed very, very cold and almost soulless from a club that has, you know, made all these sacrifices, and then all of a sudden the owner says, well, you know, while we're in lockdown, we're going to get rid of the coach. So that hasn't gone down particularly well with most Warriors fans. The thumping on Friday against the Storm was probably to be expected. There are a lot of guys in that team and inside that environment, Dwayne, I can tell you, who are feeling pretty low at the moment and wondering where the light might be at the end of the tunnel, not only on the field but off the field as well. They still don't have any idea when they're coming home. That is the bottom line.
So I spoke to a football manager with our team called the West Coast Eagles here yesterday, and he said that there is a correlation between the anxiety and the stress that is being caused with the players and their performance on the field. There's a degree of it. There's different degrees of it. Do you think that the situation now the Warriors face might cause the NRL to give them a month off or to come home, or how can we work our way through it? Because right now it doesn't seem as if they're going to be capable of providing the kind of performance that the NRL would require.
Yeah, and I'm not sure, Dwayne, how they managed to give the team a month off or do anything to give them some relief from all of this. You know, the schedule's been locked in ever since we you know, learned about the return to the field, and the games appear to all be locked in these venues. The only thing that I guess would give this team some sort of relief is the chance for their families to join them in Australia, and that in itself is problematic with a, you know, no travel bubble established yet, quarantining still required, and of course, where do you put them? What are the living arrangements? Who pays for it all? All of these things have to be taken into account. So, look, I don't think the Warriors are going home. I really can't see any set of circumstances, unless a Trans-Tasman bubble opens, when the Warriors will leave New South Wales and go back to Auckland. I just can't see that as an option at all. So, if they can bring the families over, or some of them, even for a short period, I think that would be something at least. But I think the NRL just have to box on with the Warriors on field the way they are. I mean, let's be honest, before the season started, they weren't really top eight contenders anyway. Even before COVID, they were never really talked about as being anything other than a team that would sort of occupy the bottom three or four rungs on the ladder. But what this has done is just exacerbated things. No Roger Tuivasa-Sheck this week either. He's got a one-game ban, so it seems to go from bad to worse for the Warriors. And like I say, Dwayne, it doesn't seem to be any light at the end of this tunnel.
Yeah, so we'll have to watch that space. But Jason Pines with us from Sky Sport New Zealand, telling us that he doesn't expect the Warriors to go home. What's going to happen with the Wellington Phoenix? What's going to happen with their remaining games in the A-League? It's going to be a pretty condensed fixture.
Yeah, and I think in many ways, this is a much better, well, it is, it's a much better scenario than what the Warriors are facing. The Phoenix have been over there for almost 2 weeks. They come out of their 2 weeks quarantine on Friday. They have another 2 weeks after that just to join general population, I guess you'd say, before their first game. And then all of these games are squeezed in into a 6 or 7 week period, and they'll be done by the back end of August, and then they can come home. So, you know, they do have a finite time at which they can reunite with their families. And look, the Phoenix were flying before the before lockdown came. They'd won their last four straight. They were up to third. They really felt like they could do something special. And it was a great disappointment that the season was brought to a COVID enforced halt. But now they're back. Everything you hear out of the Wellington Phoenix camp is positive. The players are fizzing around the training ground. They're enjoying being in quarantine with one another. The social media videos that are coming out are all of a pretty happy-looking bunch, and from me, from what I can see, they look very, very keen to get back out there. They know they're going to be playing six games in about 24 days. That probably suits them, you know. You ask any player, they'd probably rather be playing than training. So look, it's almost the exact opposite to the Warriors. They're a happy camp, they're a motivated camp, and they're one that will get everything done and be back home by the end of August. So it's a much better scenario facing the Wellington Phoenix.
So is that because they're still a contender? What would be the case if they weren't a contender?
In terms of, well, they'd still be there, obviously. So, I mean, the A-League is committed to all 11 teams.
But would their excitement and their exuberance not quite be there if they were only going over to sort of fill the numbers and get the season done and have no chance of actually getting something at the end of it?
Yeah, that might be. I mean, that might be a pretty valid argument, actually. And you know, you're always going to be able to get yourself up for a competition that you're still well and truly in contention for. So, yeah, I think there might be a bit of that about. But then I've seen some footage from other teams as well. And the Central Coast Mariners, rock bottom, don't really have any opportunity to make the top six. They seem to be enjoying getting back out there and playing football. I mean, they're footballers after all. So, yeah, perhaps there wouldn't quite be the exuberance and the enthusiasm there. But I think all of these players are just enjoying the fact that they're back on the grass.
And while we're talking to you, no V8s coming to your part of the world this season, which is a disappointment, but the NBL season at least looks like it's going to happen, and that's important as well.
Yeah, the V8s is a disappointment, but you know, there was talk that they may try and get something in the calendar year. That's not going to happen. V8s will be back in 2021. Scotty McLaughlin and Shane Van Gisbergen, out to leading lights, will still obviously be a big part of what the V8s are all about. And the Aussie Basketball League as well, with the Breakers involved. Seems like planning is going ahead for that. So, Dwayne, when you look around the world, and I'm sure you've made this point to your listeners and they've made it back to you, when you look around the world, there are way worse places you could be than Australia and New Zealand. At least we've got some sport, some live sport to talk about. You know, there's the prospect and the reality of crowds, certainly here in New Zealand and hopefully in Australia as well. So yeah, it's brighter than it could be. It's brighter than it could be if you were living somewhere else around the globe.
So what's your gatherings like? What's the largest number of fans you've had at a sporting event? And is it still smooth sailing at the moment?
Yeah, smooth sailing. There are no restrictions here. Gatherings are as big as you want them to be. We had 42,000 turn up at Eden Park a couple of weeks ago for the first match in the new Super Rugby Aotearoa, Super Rugby New Zealand competition. Tens of thousands have gone to all of the games so far in the first two rounds of that. And community sport's the other one. I mean, I think we all love to reconnect with each other in a grassroots way. All the junior sports going on, all the senior amateur sports going on. I had a particularly poor game of Masters football myself on the weekend, Dwayne, you'll be pleased to know. It's just good to be back out there and reconnecting in a sporting sense.
So is life pretty much normal? Do you have to remind yourself that coronavirus is still a thing outside of New Zealand?
Yeah, I mean, the only restriction, of course, is the border restriction. We can't travel internationally. Anyone coming into the country, as it is everywhere, has to quarantine. But you know, from day to day, there now isn't a lot that we can't do. You think back to when we were in lockdown and, you know, you basically couldn't do anything. But you know, everything's open. Everybody's able to operate as normal in a commercial sense, in a recreational sense, in a social sense, in a sporting sense. We're all all the restrictions have been lifted. The only ones are obviously are beyond our borders and those coming in. So while we are still well aware of COVID and the news from around the world reminds us of that every day, we feel very fortunate, I have to say, over here that we can pretty much go about life as we did before we'd even heard of coronavirus.
And have businesses rebounded? How have businesses coped before I let you go? Because that's the big worry in Australia at the moment, not those that deal with international travellers, but those that deal with people just domestically. How are the businesses coping? Have they bounced back?
Some have, some haven't. It's a tough time for business owners, for all businesses, for anybody who's trying to make a buck in a time where unemployment is set to, you know, is to reach the sort of, you know, 8-9% it's forecast to be. I think we're still to really feel the impact of that, Dwayne, if I'm honest with you. You know, there will be people who still hurt for a while. And as you say, anybody who relies on tourism, and I think of a town like Queenstown, that, you know, 80% of its revenue is anchored in an international tourism sector, you know, they're really going to be hurting a lot of those businesses down there. I think a lot of people are putting on a brave face. A lot of people are doing what they can and doing their best. But I think there are still a number of businesses in various sectors who are still hurting.
Yeah, and the Women's World Cup obviously being announced was a big one for New Zealand as well as it was here in Australia.
Yeah, great. It was great news, wasn't it, to have the envelope opened and told that we're going to be hosting this tournament. Great for, you know, for the two federations, Football Federation Australia and New Zealand Football, to get together on this, you know, and I think we all know that Australia hosts great events. We've seen, you know, plenty of great events in Australia in the past. I think, you know, here in New Zealand, we think we do a pretty good job as well. So it was pleasing to see that FIFA agreed, or the FIFA Council agreed with that, and it gives us something to really look forward to over the next 2 or 3 years as planning for that tournament starts and people can start thinking about perhaps employment opportunities and other opportunities around the hosting of the World Cup, and then the chance to see, you know, the best female footballers in the world is sure to, you know, have a flow-on effect for the game, both here and in Australia as well. So, yeah, that was good news to end the week with last week.
Great to have a chat to you, Jason. I really appreciate you jumping on the line, and we'll talk again soon.
Look forward to it, Dwayne. Thanks, mate.
Jason Pye, New Zealand broadcaster with News Talk Sport and Sky Sport New Zealand, having a chat to us about how they fit into this overall picture. It's interesting correlation between where they're at now and where we are at right now. And obviously the Warriors situation is a week-to-week situation that's a lot worse than any situation that the AFL teams are going to have to face. 6 weeks looks like being the maximum in our hubs. The Warriors spending the whole season away. We'll take a break. A few of your calls after at 1300 736 736.